Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. The program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. All right, so I'll reset you for the third hour. We've already had conversations with Terry Stotts, Trailblazers head coach, Bob Myers, Golden State Warriors president of basketball ops, and the GM. He was great. Always is. Brian Kelly was great. Notre Dame head football coach. Terry Stotts was great. This show is extremely well booked. What's up, Adam Hawk? What are you looking at, man? 1-800-636-8686. Hey, Adam, while I've got you here, maybe you can throw the headphones on right quick. Let me just touch base. You were looking at me. You were giving me a look like you had something for me. Do you have something for me or no?
Yes. Bernard, who wrote the Rit V. Adam Hawk Mission Impossible song, has emailed in to respond to the run it's getting. I need to read that. It's long form, and then I would like to put that in front of you at some point before the show's over.
Fair enough. I don't know what's long form about it. All it should say is, thank you, Vance Mack. Thank you for making me a legend. Thank you for hyping me up. What's long form about it? It should just say, thank you. You're welcome, Bernard. All right, so Adam Hawk has the official response from Burn Dog. What, you mean for this? I was like, did you what?
With the Adam Hawk.
You mean for that?
Adam Hawk, what's the money line? Rit V. Adam Hawk.
Ralph Hughes tweets. It's okay, Alvin. Keep it up. Please stop playing the Rit V. Adam Hawk. I just got it out of my head from yesterday. My coworkers were mad at me for singing it over and over.
No GPA.
Jamie in Green Bay tweets, after that parody Larry song, I might be okay with Rit V. Adam Hawk again now. Man, you know Larry, that you know that killed him, that somebody else got that kind of run for a song. You knew damn well, I should have known, you knew damn well parody Larry was going to try and wedge one of his songs into a beef segment. I talked myself into, good, he's just going to come with straight beef. I won't have to endure one of his songs. Man, how did I not know? Jeremy no longer in PDX. WTF is a stay-at-home uncle. And should we call the police? Wagner tweets, Larry, Larry, Larry. Regards no one. And again, Adam Hawk said that he is going through a long-form email in response, well, actually, from the artist himself, Burn Dog. So we'll see. Today is a podcast day. We shoot out a podcast every Wednesday, the Jim Rome Podcast. We are up to episode 153. Emmy Award-winning journo, Jim Gray, who's got tons of stories, joins me. It's good. It's good. You'll like it. How do I know that? I've already taped it. It's done. It's ready to roll. We'll push that out right after the program. Done. All right. So it's been and go ahead and call. Open phones for the last hour. It's been a really interesting year for all of us, but especially for NFL quarterback turned chicken serial killer detective, Cuddy, Jay Cutler. And considering this dude does not play in the league, and is the poster child for being disinterested, it is pretty fascinating to see just how interesting 2020 has been for the Marlboro Man. There was the reality show where he only communicated with farm animals and blatantly ignored anybody else who was walking upright on 2 feet. There was the tone-deaf and misguided trip to the Bahamas when he and his family openly bitched on social media about being trapped on white, sandy beaches with endless sunshine and Mai Tais, while the rest of the world was locked up in studio apartments trying to figure out food delivery apps. There was the divorce, where his ex-wife publicly called him, quote, lazy and unmotivated. There was the heavily chronicled two-week manhunt for whatever it was that was terrorizing his Nashville farm and murdering his chicken coop in cold blood.
We're obviously under attack. Front yard, backyard. We gotta stop the bleeding somehow. It's just, so we've lost control completely. And somehow we gotta regain it.
So my man had a time, right? He had losing battles with social interactions, pandemic decorum, his former wife, a raccoon who treated his backyard like a KFC drive-thru. And now, here comes former teammate Devin Hester to run one more back, 100-plus yards, as time winds down late in the fourth, because 2020 ain't over yet, and neither is Cuddy taking L's. Yesterday, Bleacher Report dropped a clip of their web series, Untold Stories. Devin Hester swung through as the guest. The clip was recorded a number of weeks back, but it's only really making the rounds right now. And it's getting serious run after they finally put it up on Twitter for everybody to see and to retweet. Conversation starts out with Hester saying that he belongs in Canton for what he did for the game as a return specialist and for being the most lethal dude in the history of special teams. And you know what? I can get with that. The guy was dangerous as hell, doing the most dangerous thing in the game. Hell, they're essentially trying to ban kickoffs from the game. They're so dangerous. And this dude was a threat to house it every single time he touched it. My man was electric. Which led the host, Master Tess, into asking Hester, yeah, well then why didn't they get more out of you in Chicago? Why did they underutilize you as a receiver? That was always the question. Why are they not getting this guy the ball in space? Why are they not using him as a receiver? Hester had this to say.
My third year is when I redid a new contract and became the number one receiver. That's the same year we brought in Jay Cutler. He's not really a sociable guy. He's not a talker, you know what I mean?
All right, let me stop right there for a second so we don't lose that point. Hester, in answering the question as to why they didn't get him the ball more often, said that Cutler is, quote, not really a sociable guy. He's not a talker. You know what I mean? End of quote. Yeah, bro. I know exactly what you mean. So does his ex-wife, all her friends, and anybody who watched that infomercial masquerading as a reality show. But what's interesting is Hester is saying that the TV persona is, in fact, Cuddy's real-life persona. Like, you know how I always say we don't really know any of these guys? That you have to separate the guy from the show? That it's all a show? Do we understand that? It's the entertainment business? It's a show? Yeah, well, that's not what Hester's saying. He's not saying that Cuddy is put on a show when the cameras roll. That's not what he's saying. He's saying that's who this guy really is. Not only that, he's saying that the guy really, not only does he not like talking to people, but in fact, he doesn't really like people at all.
We could be walking down the hallway. He can be coming this way and I come that way. And I pull up the star receiver, you star quarterback. You look down at your phone. So guess what I do? I put my head down and we walk right past each other and won't say nothing.
Did you hear that exchange? Or did you hear what he just said? That's amazing. That's Hester saying that when Cuddy would roam the halls of the facility, if somebody else was walking towards him, he'd bury his face in his phone or not look up and say hi or anything. That's your face of the franchise right there. That's your quarterback, your QB1. Just in his own private Cuddy. Just in his own Cuddy world, doing his own Cuddy things. I don't know, probably buying cartons of discount smokes on Amazon. Again, never mind that the face of the franchise generally knows something or lots of things about every guy on the team. You know, so they can effectively connect and lead them. How many times have you heard stories about guys like Philip Rivers or Drew Brees, and they know like every niece that you have? Like they've made it a point to study everything they can about the 53rd guy on the roster. Not Cuddy. Cuddy, according to Hester, was going out of his way to detach and disconnect from the very people that he had to go to battle with every single Sunday. Not exactly leading from the front, eh, Dev?
As a quarterback, like I tell him to his face today that, to me, my years in the NFL, I played 11 years. He's the best quarterback when it comes to accuracy, power, knowledge of the game. The best quarterback hand down I ever played with. Now, when it comes to a leadership, the worst.
The worst?
The worst. He don't know how to communicate. He don't know how to get his teammates involved.
So clearly, y'all didn't have the best relationship.
Nah.
Wow. When it comes to leadership, he's the worst. He doesn't know how to communicate. He doesn't know how to get his teammates involved. What's the worst thing you could say about a quarterback? He doesn't know how to get his teammates involved. He doesn't know how to communicate. I mean, damn, D. That chicken cereal killing raccoon thinks somebody needs to pull Hester off of Cuddy. I love the idea that everybody once thought that Cuddy would be this amazing broadcaster. Like, the guy doesn't talk to humans. His ex-Heat says he's lazy and unmotivated. And here's a former teammate calling him the worst leader he ever played with. And that he doesn't know how to communicate. Yeah, but go ahead and give this guy a headset. Or give him a good chair in a studio. And what's incredible about the quote is the comparison that Hester makes to the other quarterbacks he played with. Like, he's talking about how, yeah, man, nobody can drive the ball like this guy. Man, my man's got amazing arm talent and accuracy and power. Best quarterback I ever played with. Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty good compliment, I guess, until you consider who else Hester played with. Rex Grossman, Brian Griese, Kyle Orton, Josh McCown, Caleb Haney, Jason Campbell. I mean, I'm not saying that Cuddy didn't have a great arm. I mean, he did, for sure. I'm not saying that he wasn't accurate or powerful. But him calling you the best that he ever played with is essentially him saying you're the best of the ordinary, the best of the average, the best of the mediocre, the best of a bunch of scrubs. I mean, it's something, I guess. Just not nearly as magnanimous as he made it sound. Like, I'd say it to his face. This guy was the best quarterback I ever played with. Yeah, but who did he play with? And then, I mean, compared to what, right? Compared to those dudes with the noodles dangling from their shoulders? Yeah, I mean, great, great compliment. As great a compliment as that was, how about the insult that chased it? Devin Hester called you the worst leader he's ever played with, which is code for you didn't give a damn about anybody or anything but yourself, at least in Devin's opinion. Not, hey man, nobody outside this locker room really knows what this guy is about. Is that normally when you have a guy like that, who's kind of an enigma, there's always guys in the locker room who would say, man, y'all don't know what the hell you're talking about. You don't know a damn thing about what goes on in here. You don't know. All you have is opinions, bad opinions. There's this narrative, and none of you have any idea what this guy's about, but we do. We know exactly what he is. No, none of that. None of that. Essentially, Hester is saying, you're all right. He doesn't give a damn.
The worst.
And wait, there's still more. There's Hester talking about Brandon Marshall reminding Cuddy about who made Cuddy, Cuddy.
Jay Cutler and B. Marshall get into it. B. Marshall yell out, I made you. You know what I mean? You want it for me. You want me, Jay Cutler. All these Pro Bowl stuff, you got this because of me.
Quote, I made you. If it weren't for me, you wouldn't be Jay Cutler. You got this because of me. I don't know, man. No wonder Cuddy prefers the company of livestock. None of the cows or chickens are telling him to his face that they made him. No rooster would ever roll up on him like that. Although I'm sure they would if they could. Because those chickens and that raccoon actually did make him. At least the star of Instagram this summer. Wow, man. Devin Hester, still dangerous as hell. Just ask Cuddy, quote, the worst leader he's ever played with.
The worst.
Can I tell you, man, and that's a tough take on Cuddy. Not my take. I'm just reiterating what Devin Hester said. Quote, the worst leader I ever played with. I can tell you again, and I want to share this story. I had some face-to-face time with Cuddy when I was doing JRIB. And he was in the green room, and we were on the road at Super Bowl. Dude couldn't have been more pleasant, man. could not have been more pleasant. I'm not saying that he was, quote, loquacious. And this was long. This was much earlier in his career. Denver days. But I thought the guy was cool, man. I thought he had a cool vibe. He treated me with respect. He treated the show with respect. He treated the staffers with respect. There was none of any of this. But again, that was just an interview that was maybe 10 minutes long, and I probably spent 10 minutes with him backstage before the show. Devin Hester had a much longer sample than I did. That's pretty tough, though, man. Oh, you're a great quarterback. Best ever. Best I ever played with. But you're the worst leader I've ever been with. He'd bury his face in his phone when teammates, not even like staffers, like he wasn't even big leaguing like staffers. Teammates, star teammates. Hey, I ain't talking to you, man. Wait, aren't we teammates? Aren't you the quarterback? That's something. 1-800-636-8686. I would say that Cuddy can't wait for the calendar to flip over, but I don't think he gives a damn. I do not think he cares. That was Devin Hester. Who wants in? Still ahead. Kevin Durant's still not happy. I'm not sure that he ever will be. Michigan and this great conspiracy theory. Kirk Herbstreit was on the College Football Playoff show and suggested that there are teams. He's talked to people around college football, and I'm sure he has, where people are looking to avoid humiliating beatdowns and they're opting out. And that he would not be surprised if Michigan might do that against Ohio State. He, after that, doubled back and apologized. However, he said it. He said it. So then conspiracy theorists ran with it. Would they really do that? I want to get into that too. And we have apparently the official response from Burn Dog. But before I go to break, hey, Rome, we don't think that Ritt v. Adam Hawk is annoying. Signed, Right Said Fred. Mamba number 5. And Who Let the Dogs Out? 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 It's got to be people who sit around lyrically and they think to themselves, we just got to come up with something extremely annoying that people cannot get out of their heads. And then they write songs like that. Nobody wrote that right and thought that was a good song. Or that people would appreciate that or respect that. Who let the dogs out?
Who let the dogs out?
Okay, and that's all right, right there. People do respect that. People do like that. Ritt
Who v. let the dogs out?
Ritt v. Adam Hawk? Like who let the dogs out? Was that their Let
Adam
It Be?
Hawk. Ritt v. Adam Hawk. What's the money line? Ritt v. Adam
By the way, Who Let the Dogs Out probably made 10 times as much money as Let It Be ever made.
Drop the squawk. I'm Adam Hawk.
Remember when Jacko bought the Beatles catalog? How much do you think that Jacko would have paid for Who Let the Dogs Out? How much do you think Jacko would have paid for Ritt v. Adam Hawk?
No GPA. Well, for me some J. I would drop the squawk.
Hey, Adam, in that long form email, did he reference why he went with that fake New York accent? All right, we will come back. I haven't read the email yet myself because I've been busy, I don't know, hosting. We'll wait and see what that looks like or sounds like or even if I get to it. I mean, Burn Dog, to be fair, you've done enough damage. I don't know that you need equal time or time to respond. You've done enough damage. Oh, and there's an NFL game in less than 2 hours.
No pressure.
And
no
in
diamonds.
That, no pressure, no diamonds. That guy is going to be quarterbacking in this game. Anybody hit that game? Last I saw, the line was 10, 10 and a half.
Hit it.
Again.
Hit it again.
All right, we are coming back. Do not go anywhere. Phone lines are open. Hit me up on social. I do have thoughts on Kevin Durant. I have thoughts on Michigan and whether or not Jim Harbaugh would ever use the pandemic as a way to get out of an ass-kicking. Oh, and by the way, COVID-19 has hit their program. They're not playing this weekend. All of that's coming up.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
For all the ones who get it done, there is Grainger, offering supplies and solutions for every industry to help keep your facility safe and your people even safer. So call clickgrainger.com/safety or stop on by. I mentioned that the artist behind Rit V. Adam Hawk has officially responded to the reaction to Rit V. Adam Hawk. It's Bernard. One more time, Alvin. In its entirety, the full 45 seconds, the single verse repeated three times, so we know exactly what we're talking about here.
Rit V. Adam
it
Hawk.
All started, Adam turn Hawk that down slightly. It all started when Big Head Betts, James Kelly, came on and made his picks for the weekend. And I said, before you go, is there anything else you want to hit on? He said, yeah, Jim. Playing off the Joe Judge Colombo fight, allegedly. I want to drop a line on workplace violence between Rit and Ike. And which was pretty hilarious. And then somebody said there should be a song. Why? How come those guys don't have a song? At coming off of James Kelly, somebody said, the other members of the XR4TI have a song. Why doesn't Hawk? Why doesn't Rit? And I said, you know what? I don't know. I don't care. If you want to write a song, write a song. Bernard took me up on it. And that was the song. And people unanimously hated it. Normally, I would say pretty much unanimously, but I'm saying unanimously. I've yet to find one person who liked it. And for days, you've been responding. Here now is the official response from Burndog. In the form of an old school long form email. Rome, you are pretty close regarding the production value of the song. I'm going to stop right there, Bernard. I nailed the production value of the song. I said it sucked. So no, I'm not pretty close, Bernard. I nailed it. Rome, you are pretty close regarding the production value of the song. The genesis of the song is this. Basically, the idea came to me Black Friday evening, Saturday morning. I played the music on my computer speakers and recorded it on my laptop using the microphone on my headset. I made the video Sunday evening and emailed it to the show on Monday. I could have written, so what he's doing now is he's answering some of the criticism. I could have written lyrics for Rit, but the song is sort of written from the perspective of Hawk, who thinks that he's going to win the fight despite the fact that 96% of the money is against him. The video hopefully captures the essence of Rit with the pictures that are included in it. As for repeating the lyrics, I could have written three different verses, but figured I would keep it short and sweet. I'm originally from New York City, or the area, so I'm not necessarily putting on a fake accent. But again, the way I said the words was sort of thinking back to how the confident Hawk would say the things that he'd say about having a low GPA and how people might end up working for him someday. How does that explain you saying Adam Hawk?
Hawk.
That suggests confidence. Hawk suggests we're all going to work for Hawk one day. It makes no sense, Bernie. He goes on, the line, I am Adam Hawk, is said with emphasis to once again show his confidence and also highlight his handle on social media, which is @ I'm Adam Hawk on Twitter. I definitely cracked up hearing the reaction from you and the clones. Thanks, Bernard. All right, Bernard, here's my reaction to your reaction. And like your song, it will be short and sweet. Burn Dog, this song took you 3 days to complete. Burn Dog, 3 days. That's more embarrassing than the song itself. It took you 3 days to rip the Mission Impossible theme onto the computer and lay 4 lines of lyrics over that. How the hell did that take 3 days? What about that took you 3 days? You say the song, and I mentioned, if it's a song, Rit v. Adam Hawk, why is there nothing about Rit in the song? I posed that question. And your response is, the song was written from the perspective of Hawk. Burn Dog, the song is called Rit v. Adam Hawk. It's Rit v. Hawk. It takes two to fight. The song is about a fight, right? So a song about two people fighting should be about two people. The perspective should be of Rit and Hawk. It's a fight, Bernard. Hawk's not fighting himself.
It's a fight, so whatever happens, happens.
And wait, did you say there's a video? There's a video to accompany the song. Where? I need to know right now. On YouTube? I don't see it, but I can't wait to see it. And you said that you repeated the lyrics in order to save time. How would writing new lyrics to replace the existing lyrics add any time? It saved you time because you already spent 3 days on that crap. Because you didn't have to come up with new verses. How would it save time, Bernard? That makes no sense at all. You could have come up with two more verses that were the same length. That doesn't save time. It saved you time. Is that what you mean? You're lazy and unmotivated like Cuddy. It didn't save time. How did that save time? Come on, man. It took you all that time to react with that? After taking 3 days to record that, I'll take your reaction to his reaction. Sean is in. Can you run Burn Dog's email? Does that help, Shawnee?
You don't like that call. I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
Wells, the next email from Bernard needs to be an apology to all of us. I mean, he was a pretty good sport about it, although none of his explanations made sense at all, much like the song didn't make sense at all. Yeah, I don't know if that apology is coming. He still seems proud of his work, doesn't he? He's very Neems-esque like that. Like, apology? I apologize to absolutely nobody. What, for writing the best song the jungle's ever heard? Yeah, but that's the thing, Bernard. It's the worst song the jungle's ever heard. Dodger Chris tweets, the next time someone from New York City doesn't mention that they're from New York City in a conversation will be the first time. I mean, I hate to say this because, quote, some of my best friends live in New York City. Some of my best friends are from New York City. Hell, the people I work for all live in New York City or in the outskirts. But you know why a lot of people do that? Not all of them. Some of them. I want to be so careful how I say this because I don't want New York City guy to turn into likes to fight guy. In fact, I'm not even going to limit this to New York City guy or person. People who are constantly letting you know where they're from. You know who else does that? Bay Area guy. Bay Area person is famous for that. Yeah, I'm from the Bay. I'm from the Bay. I'm from New York City. The reason people do that is because, wait for it, they think they're better than you. And they think where they live and where they're from is better than where you live and where you're from. Hey, Rome, not everybody in New York is like that. Just like not everybody in the Bay Area is like that. But some are. Hey, Rome, the Rit v. Adam Hawk, behind the music email. Man, I was obsessed with Behind the Music back in the day. God, that was so good. That was such a great show. I was obsessed with that show when that dropped. Motley Crue was amazing. The crew was so good. Hey, Rome, the Rit V. Adam Hawk behind the music email was even worse than the song. If he put in half the work he did in that email, that song may have had a shot. You know, I think he did. I think he spent more time on the email response than the song itself, and he spent 3 days on the song. Carl and Prescott, 1 for 3C, one tweets. This Bernie song is from the perspective of the garbage can. It's horrible.
Garbage.
Dude, my man tried to act so thoughtful, didn't he? Like he was like an artist. Like the perspective of Hawk and the sense of Rit. Like you, we just don't understand. It's art, man. You just don't get it. It's art, man. You don't get it. You know what, Bernie? What you call art, I call something else. But there is something that's in common. They're both three letters. Yo, man, Rome, you just don't get it. It's art. Really, Bernie? Because the three-letter word I had in mind was it's ass. Your song. Rit V. Adam Hawk.
Rit.
You ripped the Mission Impossible theme and you laid it down on your lapper and dropped one verse three times. No way, bro. I thought for sure you were in some fancy New York City studio grinding out until the middle of the night at $40,000 an hour to rent. No way, bro. You dropped that on your MacBook 13. Your 2012 MacBook? No way, bro. Those were not Sennheisers that you were using? Those were not broadcast quality microphones? You were not in a studio in New York City? No way, Bernie.
Break.
Yeah, I know. I got to get out. Sorry about that. Break. I want to reiterate that there's going to be an NFL game in less than an hour. I'd like to also reiterate that today's Wednesday. There's going to be an NFL game in less than an hour on a Wednesday. 12:40 Pacific time. 10:40 HT. Man, that's weird. Even for 2020. And like when I say weird is good, this is good. This is definitely good. And what makes it even better is we're going to see Bob Griffin. Like I said, if you're going to have a Wednesday game in the middle of the day, in the middle of the week, man, lean into it. Lean the hell into it. Let Bob Griffin spin it. And let him throw it to Dez Bryant. Can't wait. And it's a really important game. Ravens have to have it. Ravens trying to get in. Going up against their rival, the undefeated Steelers. And you get the sense, if you know anything at all about Mike Tomlin, straight fire. If you know anything at all about Mike Tomlin, there's no way he's going to jeopardize any chance at the chip to run the table. I don't get the sense that that's important to them at all. They know they've got a window. You know, by the way, Ben's like 39, or soon to be 39. They've got a window. They're undefeated. The thing's wide-ass open this year. There's no way they're going to jeopardize a chance to win at all just by trying to run the table. Ask the hood how that goes. So you got a desperate Ravens team, or what's left of it. They thought they were getting their key running backs back from the COVID list, and they're not going to play. So this should be pretty interesting. But Bob Griffin will. Wednesday ball, man. It's so great. And not just Wednesday ball, like not Wednesday prime time ball, Wednesday 12:40 p.m. Pacific time ball. Like I'm going to roll out of here and wait for the game to start and not even wait an hour. So we will have that tomorrow, to be sure. Got an ATP for you. Been a wacky day, man. Been a fun day, but a different kind of day. Time to answer the Ask the Pros question, where you clones get to submit a question, and you do so at cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. As you know, it's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Let's see. Jimmy Jim, will you be at home or at work at 12:40 for kickoff? The hell I look like to you, man? Do I look like I'm on that 12:01 train? For me to be at home? No, dude, I'll be at work. Good question, Brent. Will you be at home? Hi, Jim. The clones have numerous nicknames for you. Does your family have any nicknames for you? Thanks. Bella B. in Calgary.
I love when you
God, she's
hockey.
Good, isn't she? All right. I'm sure they do. I just might not know them, right? The ones that I do know from my fam, I get Jimmos from Logan sometimes. Jake will pop me. You know what a pop? Thanks for checking in, pop. And Janos, normally you would never do it, but she gets away with it. It's very sweet and very endearing and very loving, Janos. Janos is one of the few people who still jimmies me. Janos jimmies me. I'm a 50-something-year-old male, and I'm still Jimmy to Jano. I think there are three people who do that. Her, my mom. I think there are two people who do it. Her, my mom. So those are the only nicknames that I know. I'm sure Logan and Jake have other nicknames that Pop doesn't know. Way to go, Bella. Hey, Rome. I wholeheartedly wish Robert all the best in his return to the big stage this afternoon. Take it from me. Sometimes if you have not made an appearance in a really long time and people are not accustomed to seeing you, the comeback can be a tad ugly. Regards, Shaka Smart's Lettuce. War bums plugging nerds into their cigarette filters to make their own homemade Camel Crush.
Nerds!
Dude, you're working hard, man. Hey, Jeffrey. Hey, Jeffrey.
Where are they, Jeffrey?
I think they're talking about
talking
me.
Talking about us, Michael.
What year was that call, Alvy? Just out of curiosity. Smack off 09. The BIC talking about the brothers Detola. Give me a little taste of that real quick before we go to break.
Romy, can't you picture Mike and his brother Jeff schlepping their big old luggage trunk across the quad on their first day of college? Jeffrey, college is a whole different ballgame. People judge you differently than they did in high school. They're all excited, you know, but then Ogre spots them from the roof of the fraternity house. Nerds! 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 Where are they, Jeffrey? I think he's talking about us, Michael.
We should have known at that point that the BIC was going to be a legend. That was his first ever smack-off call. That was the BIC's first ever smack-off call, talking about the brothers Detola. The brothers Detola are Jeffrey and Michael, two legends of the show who no longer call. Mike Detola was arguably the best of the best back in the day. He's a dentist. Jeffrey, I'm not going to say shocked the world, but it was something of a surprise. He won a smack-off. He's a lawyer. I sometimes still see, believe it or not, Jeffrey. Jeffrey does not live far from me. Great guy. Amazing guy. He's a super guy. Mike was always a good dude, too. I just haven't seen Mike in a long time or heard from Mike in a while. But that was the BIC with the nerds. Nerds. That was, in fact, that was a smack-off winning call, right? That was the first of five. He won it as a rookie. The BIC. Huge call brought to you by Dell Technologies. Big news from Dell Technologies. Cyber Monday is here. Deals are up to 50% off. Dell is providing small business computers with Intel Core processors that will give you an edge over the competition. Call 877-ASK-DELL or go to dell.com/SB Cyber Monday. Danger Donnie tweets, Rex also jimmies you. Give him some bleeping credit. That's true.
All right, so three
people jimmy me. My wife, my mom, and Rex. Sexy Rexy from New Mexico. What a day. What a life. What a world. What a world. We have NFL ball in less than an hour on a Wednesday. My thanks to Trailblazers head coach Terry Stotts, Warriors president of basketball ops and GM Bob Myers, Notre Dame head football coach Brian Kelly, the XR4TI, and your clones. You have a great day. Thanks for listening. See you tomorrow.